Blog Talk Radio.
You know what, Bill? Since we have... Hello, everybody. How you doing?
There you go. That's polite now. That's
sorry.
Hi, this is Bill Kennedy. This is Screwdriver. Go ahead, buddy. Back to you.
What I was going to say was, since we have Baker...
Yes.
Stormy Montana. Frank Belangi is going to call in probably a little later in the show.
All righty.
But I'm going to start us out with Charlie Baker's right.
You know, that's a good way to start every program.
Yes,
Charlie's okay with us.
In her eyes, the smell of her hair.
bass, that tone there, you know that?
Absolutely.
That's a good tone there.
Absolutely.
That was kind of relaxing, that type of music.
Yes.
Like the music, you don't have to actually think too much about it. It just kind of makes you feel like you're part of the music.
That song actually makes you want to go for a ride.
It gives you subliminal message about being a subliminal atheist right in your face. Go for a ride, yeah. But the music, again, you're not pounding, which is kind of
mellow.
Mellow. That's more my style than your style. You're a little more hard rock. I'm still a little more smooth jazz. We fit in well together.
Speaking of jazz, I'll be at the Irvine, blues, but I'll be at the Blues Festival Saturday after that Coast Ride with Rusty and T-Rod. And
which Blues Festival?
The one at Irvine Lake. The one I have.
Oh, yeah, then the Rise. I thought you were going to go somewhere after that, too.
That's 8 o'clock in the morning. I got to be there. You'll be, when I leave, you'll still be counting Z's.
No, don't forget. No, not too much, because I got to be there first thing in the morning to do that motorcycle ride with the Res Riders, Indian Motorcycle Club. And then I'm going to, as soon as they do the poker stop at my place, I got to run up and do a wedding. I got to run back from that, and then I'm sponsoring a rat rod and a rat motorcycle a show here in Carlsbad. So.
Which I'll be done after I go to that.
Well, you can fly back, go straight on down, take Tamarack Exit. Yeah.
Right. And Art, if you're not working and you're around, that's going to be at Hensley's?
Yes, Tamarack Exit.
Tamarack
right.
And
we'll
5.
Right
there. It's going to be iron, hot rods, motorcycles.
But rat rats. We're not talking about custom bikes here. We're talking about guys that are making stuff.
Right.
One of my friends is going to be there in his Honda Goldwing, which is like in a rigid frame. He's got a suicide clutch on it, and he's using like beer balls and stuff for his fluids. That's a guy that's taking, doing the best he can with what he's got, And I appreciate stuff like that.
Right.
I don't always want to go to custom bike shows and get $50,000 bikes.
No, not really. But Art says we're a couple of social butterflies.
That's true.
We can't be at the same place.
No.
So we split up.
You actually are doing minimum two and meet me for the third, and I'm doing two in the morning, and I'll be at the third. So,
it's a full dance card. But what I wanted to talk about real quick, Bill, because right now I noticed we have Charlie Baker and Stormy Montana. They're in the chat room, but they're going to be calling in here in about 10 minutes. Right around 8:10.
If Pete calls up from Boston, I want to talk about something. If he calls up,
Pete's there. We'll bring him in. We're gonna follow the.
Remind me about my subject in case I forget.
In fact, I'll write that down for you right now. But we're gonna have a little topic I wanted to talk about first. But I wanted you to notice, Bill, because we've been talking about this for years. But it says. Police use cell phone and navigational data to spy on drivers. So I'm telling everybody out there, if you don't need your phone on, turn it off. But when you turn it off, take the battery out because it's still on. Be aware of leaving your cell phone on while traveling long distances. The insurance companies and police agencies are tracking your every movement while driving and talking. Even if just riding along with someone else will lessen the medical payout if in an accident. And I'm telling you now, Bill. If you're driving and you're talking on the phone and you cause the accident and they go back and look at your LUDs, you're done.
Look at my what?
The LUDs for your phone, the bill.
Well, okay.
They call it LUDs.
I didn't know
if
that.
You watch CSI, they call it LUDs.
My wife pays that bill. I don't know that bill. I don't even have a thing. What do I care? You know, actually, what you're talking about, a couple of years ago, Indian, my partner in San Diego, club person, he told me about when we went somewhere, he goes, Bill, I got to take the batteries out. And, of course, I didn't have a cell phone, so I didn't give a damn what he was doing. I said, why? He says, because we're being tracked.
Right.
Where we're going is, I don't want us being tracked. We got this bit of take care of. And I thought at that time, he's a little bit out of it. And it's only past recent months I realized he was absolutely on target all the way.
Absolutely.
Of course, him being in the club scene and all that, and he had business to take care of, he was being tracked always. But I just wasn't aware of it.
Yeah,
I thought once the phone was off, it's off. He said, no, battery must come out.
The battery, you got to take the battery out.
So I didn't know that.
There's been many a trip I've gone on where I've been asked to take the battery out of my phone. They didn't say turn it off, they said take the battery out. You're screwed if you speed from point A to point B and get involved in an accident. The insurance company will seek out info on how fast you were speeding along. Also, there's a computer in your car. All fours, yours is probably on that back wall in your pickup truck, but there's a computer. If it's not there, it's under the seat. they download the data. If you hit somebody, they can tell you when you hit the brakes, how fast you were going. Basically, they got it down to what your reaction time was.
Big brother's here.
Yeah. So turn off that phone if not needed. Okay? Here's this little gizmo. They started doing this in Michigan, though. The ACLU has got a lawsuit going now. But what they do is they take this little box here.
Yeah, like a black box almost,
right.
Like the airplanes kind of.
Right. I'll put the link in. The guy's name that wrote this article is Doug Newcomb. And it's inside. Well, I'm going to put it in the chat room. But if you click on his name, it'll take you to the link.
Well, you know, if anybody knows Indian out of San Diego with the motorcycle club, see him say that Bill wants to apologize, but I thought he's just a little bit paranoid.
No.
But it's come to surface. He was right in. Well, he's pretty up with all the computer stuff and all the safeguards he does with his life. I mean, he's really got 4 or 5 phones on him and everything. So.
And in recent weeks, Bill, just in the last 3 weeks, they found out that Apple and Google are spying on the people carrying company smartphones. Anybody that has, you know,
yeah, right, think, yeah.
Okay. Everybody at work has smartphones. I don't have one. I don't want one. No surprise, no big surprise there. The other two paranoia-inducing tech tracking revolutions that came out last week are perhaps more alarming for motorists. State police in Michigan have been collecting data from drivers' cell phones during routine traffic stops. If they stop you and your phone's on, they can download your phone. But if your phone is off and the battery's out, they can't download your phone because it's off.
So if they say, I want to see a cell phone, you say, I don't have one with me. And
no.
No.
You just say, I do not give up that right.
Okay.
But if they arrest you and they take you to the station and they take all your stuff,
yeah,
they're going to download your phone. But if it's off, mm-hmm, and they put the battery back in and turn it on.
No, they can't do that.
They
right.
can't do that. Okay, so at that point, anything mm-hmm they happen up to that point is null and void. You're done. They're done. Okay? The same thing happened.
What happened to the country of my grandparents?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, America is the best country in the world still, but what happened to the country my grandparents grew up in? Where's the...
It's just like in the Netherlands, Bill. They use the data, the data from the TomTom navigation system to catch speeders and also to determine the best places to install speed cameras. It's enough to turn on even the most high-tech loving into a Luddite. If you're stopped by a speed cop in Michigan, you could be asked to hand over your mobile phone along with your license registration, and using cell phone extraction device, they call it Cellebrite, the law can find out more about you than you ever imagined.
Jesus. No, this is almost like, and I know you're telling me the truth, but it's almost like this is too bizarre for my pea brain to comprehend this.
Mm-hmm. There's also another, the folks over at TransLogic got their hands on a Cellebrite UFD that can grab data from over 1,800 different cell phones. Not just one phone, though. 1,800 different cell phones. Okay? They report that information, call history, contacts, text messages, photos, and videos, whatever, even if you've deleted it, they can still get it. It can be downloaded into a USB drive within seconds. TransLogic also uses a software program called Lantern from Cantana Forensics to analyze data from an iPhone, including locations previously visited and recorded by Google Maps, so they can tell where you've been, what you've been doing, and how long you've been doing it.
So when you and I crossed the border into America, they always ask where you've been and all that. We always just none of their business. But now, if they could grab our cell phones,
they already know.
They could tell us, you guys were in Ensenada last night, you were in Rosarito Beach the night before that.
Yep.
Oh, this is interesting. Not interesting, it's scary to me.
Yeah, because the American Civil Liberties Union has been on a case with Michigan for using UFED devices during the ACLU calls routine traffic stops and claims it violates the Fourth Amendment right to unseasonable search and seizure. They've also asked for data from the MSP showing how their devices are used, when they are used, and if they've been used without permission. Okay? The MSP has in turn asked for over $500,000 to cover the cost of retrieving and assembling the necessary documents to comply. Hey, times are tough in Michigan, and the state needs money. They also claim that UFED devices are used only if a search warrant is obtained or the person possessing the mobile device gives consent. That's bullshit because they said they're going to ask you for your license, registration, and your cell phone.
Now, what would you say if the cop says hand over the phone?
I refuse to give up that right.
Just say no.
Just say no.
That's right.
Okay? Traffic cops in the Netherlands have taken a more proactive approach to snaring speeders and other lawbreakers and left portable navigation device maker TomTom with some explaining to do its customers. Some of the company's nav systems can send GPS info to TomTom, and the information is used to route drivers around traffic and provide more accurate arrival times.
So we're talking about the most positive thing for it is to protect you.
No, the most positive
help you.
No, the most positive thing here,
yeah.
Bill, is if you don't listen to us, you're fucked.
Yeah. We're not telling you the sky is falling. The sky is falling. We're telling you, take your head out of the ground. This is happening today. It's happening all around. Be
like,
aware of this.
Yes, because it's just like this. The Dutch press revealed that police also used the info to catch lead-footed drivers as a basis for deciding the best places to install speed cameras. But they did the same thing in Arizona, Bill.
Oh. Right. They got them on the side of the highway there.
They did it in Arizona, same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. They got it used by...
In the middle of the stinking desert, they got a camera out there.
That's
100
it.
Miles from anybody, and it's your speeding ticket.
The data used by the Dutch government didn't include information on individual drivers, and TomTom has barred its further use. The company also released a letter to its customers, and the company's CEO made a video explaining the company's position on driver privacy. What he didn't mention is that some of his company's nav system also point out to users where speed cameras are installed. They put an app in to tell you where they're at. Okay? Sort of makes you think twice about using certain tech behind the wheel and the wisdom of downloading and installing, say, a smartphone app from an insurance company. Don't download anything that you don't know the source where it's coming from.
Okay, now this technology, can it get to the point where, like, the wife can find out what topless bar the husband's been at?
Yes.
Oh.
Bill, if...
Well, now we got problems here. All right, now we got a problem.
Look, Bill, okay? Right here, I'll show you on my phone.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll show you on my phone. You go to this little thing here that says, my stuff.
Right.
Okay? You go to the little box here that says, tools. Okay.
Got you.
All right. Now, go back to this one.
Back to tools.
No. Now we go to multimedia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got all that, right?
Still with you.
Okay. Now, we go over to here. What does that say?
Shop GPS.
What does that say?
AT&T Navigator.
What does that say?
Where?
Okay.
Well, you guys that are hiding from your wives afraid to go to topless bars, some of you people are in big trouble.
Yes?
Well, I got to tell you that most of the girls I know that work at the topless bars, after a long night of work, and they want to take those high heels off, they want to put the sweatpants on and tennis shoes. I know more guys that get in trouble in beer bars because the girls inside the beer bar have a few drinks and they get a little brave,
mm-hmm.
and the guy does something stupid. Very few girls, dancers, want to go home with a customer. They want to go home, take those high heels off. So for most guys, it's safer in a strip bar than it is a beer bar, in my opinion.
Right.
But that's a story I keep telling my wife anyway. You guys have your own story. I got mine. And I don't have to go to a strip bar every night. I just need to know it's in the state of California, in my town. Like you and I, right next to the ocean. I don't surf anymore, but I like to know it's there.
Right.
I don't know if I can move a place to have a strip bar. I just don't know.
Well, you know, the one that's downtown now, Bill, you know, the only time you're going to see anything worthwhile in there is on payday night.
Yeah.
And the night after. And the night after. After those 3 days.
That's it.
You know the Marines are broke.
Mm-hmm. And they're making no money off those bikers, eh? Kind of sad, though, because it wasn't that long ago when the girls at strip bars used to take care of our spikers. You know?
Right.
Take care of our drinks, take care of this, and take care of our needs. And now,
well, you know,
the girls at the strip bars, they want to work for money now, you know?
Right.
Hey.
It's, you know, like, we got a, being when I had the different screens up, Bill,
yeah.
and we had a couple of messages, but Art says that Indian is a really sharp individual, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
He gets my respect every time. And this is all true. Too bad too many sheeple won't listen.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do, Bill, is I'm going to go to the lines here. This should be Hello, Stormy. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Good. How about you?
Not bad. It was a nice ride home on the coast.
Good.
Stormy, this is Bill Kennedy here, too. It's nice to hear your voice. I was sampling some of your songs, and I was trying very hard to picture you or put you in a category, I guess. That's the hard part. Would you say you're more of a ballad or a soft ballad? Because different songs kind of gave me a different impression of your voice. Some songs your voice hit very, very perfectly in there. Some songs your voice sounded more sophisticated. Do you favor one style, do you think, Stormy, is? Or are you still experimenting with new styles?
Well, I'm open-minded. I'm open-minded to any kind of music except for maybe rap. But all those songs, really, that was just more than anything a rush to get them recorded so that nobody else would get them recorded. But I don't know. I'm wanting to go more towards the outlaw country Americana feel. That feels a little bit more like me. I mean, and some of the slower stuff was pretty... Someone Like Me was probably the one that was pretty true to the
style. That's one of the ones I highlighted, and I asked you to play that. I like that very much. Also, your voice fit that very nice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, I just unmuted. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Blowing out the door.
I didn't mean to scare
you. All over me.
Well, because sometimes people write...
People don't want to hear you at all, but go ahead. You know what? I'll stop so you can talk to Stormy.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, Stormy, you got to understand, this is a love-hate relationship for the last 20 years.
Oh, well.
What was the question you had?
I'll talk to either one of you.
I unmuted Charlie. He's on the line also.
Charlie, good night. How you doing,
Charlie?
You lost Charlie already?
No.
You lied.
There.
Bill Kennedy didn't lie, Stormy. Guess who lied? Screwdriver.
No. He's probably...
Okay, while you're doing this, let me come back to... Stormy, I was listening to Quincy Jones the other day, the producer, director, and all that, and he was saying about his life, he had no music in his family, he had no influences by music, but when he was 10 years old, he walked up to a piano and touched it, the keys, and though he couldn't play a note, he felt at that point music was going to be his whole life. Have you had an experience like that, or did you slowly move into music? Or how did it become such a strong point for you?
Well, I always laugh and say that I started singing in self-defense so my mom wouldn't sing to me, but... I don't know. I used to play basketball and did a little cheerleading thing. I was a hell of a little baseball player, but I don't know. I was just a little bit too social to do any of those. So there was this ad in the newspaper for this 15-year-old girl that lived like a town over from us that was teaching guitar. And at about this time, I was maybe six. And Mom found... just this little old cheapy guitar, and I started going over there and doing lessons and pretty much fell in love with it right away. I mean, since I started it, it's pretty much what I've known that I want to do.
You took right to the guitar like a duck to water, or was it a struggle?
Well, I took to the singing quicker than I did guitar. Whenever I would do shows, I would just do tracks. I would never play guitar. But
we have.
I don't know. I've just recently picked that in the past few years.
I hate to do this, but we have Pete on the line. He's got somebody on the line with him that has a burning desire because Bill said he had a question for him, and they can't stay on too long. So I'm going to give him a few minutes to talk.
Oh, go ahead.
And then we'll pick up where we left off with you because. I'm going to ask you to listen to this, and if you have any questions, we'll direct them at him.
Okay,
Pete, you on the line? Pete, you on the line?
I'm here.
Hang on one second. Stormy, I appreciate that. We'll get right back to you. Hey, what do you think happened today in Santa Monica? Did you hear what happened up there?
Oh,
Santa Monica, California?
Before we get into that, Gino, are you still on the line with me? Gino. Gino, wake up. Gino. Wake up. You must have hung up. He's an old man.
All right.
What's
you
that
know
again,
from
Bill?
South Boston, right?
What's that?
You know them from South Boston, right?
Yes, I do.
You know what happened today? James Whitey Bulger was arrested.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. I have had relatives from Boston. I've had friends from Boston. They tell me people all over Santa Monica, all the Irish communities there. This is a man that's been on the run for, what, 20-some years or something. He's 82 years old. They finally arrested him. And it had to be some snitch that turned him in there. But for those of people on the East Coast, I know the West Coast doesn't have any idea what I'm talking about. But East Coast people, Whitey Bulger was a famous or infamous character, especially in the Massachusetts criminal program. He was a gangster. He had his own idea of loyalty. He was an Irishman. He was loyal to the Irish gangs, and yet he was the highest-paid FBI informant. He set up the Italian gangsters, and he thought, that's not snitching. They're not Irish. Now, how a man decides that, who he can snitch on and can't, I don't know. Because you and I both know, snitches should get what? Pete?
Stitches.
That's right. You can't pick and choose who you're going to snitch on, but he did more damage to the Italian mob for years and years. An interesting man because his brother was
funny.
The governor.
You know what amazes me? They got Bin Laden, now they got him. You know, they're catching all these people all of a sudden. I mean, is Obama behind all this, you know? It makes you wonder, you know what I mean? And I mean, come on, Whitey Bulger has been on the run for years.
And
so has Bin Laden. And then all of a sudden they catch Whitey Bulger, the infamous Whitey Bulger and Bin Laden. You know, I don't know, man. I thought Whitey Bulger was dead, honestly. He's old. He's 81 years old. Good number there, 81, right?
Exactly. Pete, every one of my relatives, every one of my friends back in Boston, they all said the same thing. They thought he passed away years ago. For him to be hiding out in Santa Monica just up the street, that's pretty wild.
Wow, I didn't even know that's where he was at. Is that what they call
right
him?
Here in California. We talked to some of our relatives and friends back in Boston. They said they remembered when the old ladies would come out of the supermarket, Whitey would walk up and take their groceries and walk the old ladies home. He was always trying to be a friend to the community, but in his mind,
except for the church,
killing people was he killed 18 people. That wasn't, somehow he didn't think that was real wrong, though.
No.
Well, I got into a discussion about him today, and the guy that I was talking to said to me, who was a professional, and he said to me, he's going to end up dead one way or another. You know, so I don't know, you know.
81, what the hell?
You know, I know.
Yeah.
Hey, Gino, you there now? Was you fall asleep?
No, one of the girls called, you know.
No, that's not more important. The Phil and Bill show is more important than your girls, than your bitches. You know what I mean? Come on.
Hey, Pete, how many women he got in the street back there?
How many women, what? Say, Gino,
how many women is he working on the streets?
I got a girlfriend in Chicago. She works for the airline.
He's got about 1,000 girlfriends. I'm not kidding you. The man's 65 years old.
Yeah.
He's going to be 66 in August, but he looks damn good for his age, I got to say.
I'm Italian.
Hey, Gino, what do you think about Whitey Bulger getting nabbed?
Whitey? Well, he's going to get nabbed soon or later. I'll tell you the truth, he's 81. What the hell's he give a shit? He's done his life. What are we going to do? He's going to get punished, but he ain't going to get killed in prison.
I don't know, man. I'm not saying by the inmates. They're saying the FBI might take him out. That's what somebody told me.
No, nobody. Who did he rat out on? Everyone ratted him out.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Bill does, too, you know. Because Bill's is in California, but he's from Boston. So, you know, we know who he is.
Whitey had a long life. he's lucky he got to be 81. Now, God bless him.
You get a good point there, but
I've seen better men than him don't live that long. So that's the way it is.
I'm certainly not trying to picture him as a saint or anything, because he's certainly not. But what an interesting character to have one brother as the governor of Massachusetts, his FBI handler.
My brother, I have a family. I'm an ex-Hells Angel, and my family and my brother works for the Air Force. I have a cousin that was, his name was Lewis Hoffman. He's the president, four presidents. He was the doctor. He was a doctor for all four presidents. He was a surgeon. He put in Dick Cheney's pacer. They invited me when he became a colonel in the Air Force, but the White House wouldn't let me in because of my past. So,
fill us in for a few seconds about your past. What can you tell us?
Well,
187 assault and batteries just on police officers. That's quite impressive.
Oh yeah, I have 172 assaults against police officers.
172. There we go. Anyway, I don't want to hog the show. I know you have special guests coming on, Bill and Phil. Thanks for throwing us on, Bill.
60.
I appreciate that. So I'll talk to you guys about Whitey, because I know you guys know what you know who I'm talking about. Nobody in California really knows, but East guys know.
Of course.
I'm not trying to paint him as a hero at all, but he was a infamous man.
He's not a hero.
To be on the road, 18 murders, and to be somewhat of a legend folklore, you know, back in the East Coast. Gino.
I hate
go ahead, Pete. What?
That hurt children. Those are the ones I hit the web. You know, not to change the subject. Look at the little kid that was killed by those two homos that left them in a barrel in Maine, underwater. And we can't talk about that. They always put down the straight people, and they always put down comedians because they talk bad about homosexuals. But yet, they're the ones raping children more than anything. And you got your Frank there, Bonnie Frank, who...
oh, God.
We're going downhill now. Talking about Bonnie Frank.
They take it out on Wiener. What did Wiener do? All he did was show his stupid chest
pictures
on Twitter.
All right, listen, Gino, they have special guests coming on, so we got to let them bring those guests back on, okay?
Oh, okay.
So we're going to call them later if we can.
Right,
again, we appreciate that, gentlemen. We look forward to talking to you as always.
Guys, I'm just going to listen on the phone. You know, I'm going to keep my phone on. I'm going to listen tonight, and if you want to ask me anything, or if I want to, you know,
I'm going to mute you, Pete, but I'll unmute you. Just send me a message in the chat, okay?
Yeah, you can mute me, Phil.
Yeah.
And I'll just listen, and then if you feel like I'm muting me to. I just unmute me. I'm kind of the cops really busted my balls today, so I'm kind of depressed.
Oh,
okay.
You poor kid.
Shut up, Gino. You know all about it, all right? Don't bust my balls on this, okay? Why is it
you
three cops
really
pulled me over on a traffic stop? I was going under the speed limit. Come on.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, all right. So, thanks,
guys,
for letting us jump on, Bill. That's interesting.
Always.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk more about him, Bulger.
There you go.
And I'm going to listen to the show, though. So, Gino, I'll call you tomorrow.
Yeah, God bless.
Hang up, okay, Gino, because we don't want to hear any background noise.
Yeah.
All right, good night, guys.
Take care.
Tommy, you still with us there?
Yes, I am.
I know you're pretty, obviously, very young. I don't know if you know much about Whitey Bulger. He was a East Coast old gangster, but I needed some old East Coast guys to talk about. So let's get back to the musica. What are you pointing at me?
Well, Charlie, we got Charlie's on. He's unmuted. Are you there, Charlie?
Are you there? Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Charlie.
Okay,
Bill Kennedy.
Cool. All right. Hey, Bill, how's it going, bro?
We're doing okay out here. We're doing
okay. We're having some trouble staying on the line. Did you get your tinfoil hat out?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I just had called back a couple times trying to figure out what the deal was. It must have just been a connection thing, man.
Okay.
And you know we got Stormy on the phone, right, Charlie?
I heard
you guys
have been,
you
there.
Got to...
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Stormy. How you doing?
Good. How about you? You ready for the show?
I'm doing. Oh yeah. Yep. I just got the bike strapped into the trailer and getting ready to load that bad boy in the morning.
You're not trailering your bike. No, I'm just busting your balls. I know what you're doing.
I have to trailer the bike, dude, because it's going to be pretty damn hard to carry a couple guitars and a PA system and my woman on that motorcycle.
I want to try that, though.
If we can figure that out, we'll all be rich.
Yeah, make $1 million just right there on the spot.
You ain't kidding.
Charlie, you're going to be performing somewhere together? Is that what I got the impression?
Yeah, we're going back to... going to North Carolina, to Hillsboro, North Carolina, is up to Crazy Shot Billiards. It's a great little place.
Is it a charity program? Is it something, you know, like a regular paying gig, or is it what's the purpose of going there?
Oh, it's one of those places where, you know, they have music and entertainment there, and I played there last year for Sonny Barger's book signing in November, and that's how I met the folks. And I'm on my way up to New England.
And I've never been any further than the mountains.
That's it.
So it's kind of my first time over there.
That's how I met Stormy, actually, because I did that gig over there for Sonny's book signing. And one thing led to another, and then Stormy's on the other side of, you know, quite a ways away on the Kentucky end of things, and West Tennessee. And somehow that all worked out that we got introduced. And so I'm heading up to New England to do a tour for about 2.5 weeks. And on the way to New England, I might as well stop in North Carolina. And I'm glad that Stormy is able and willing to go and make an appearance.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too.
Charlie, your music your accent. I didn't mean accent, but your style, I'll go back to that, is somewhat different than Stormy's. You've heard some of her music. What do you, I'm trying to categorize a little bit, do you think it was more of a ballad? With her voice, which has a lot of range to it, what do you see that you think she fits most comfortable in?
Stormy? Oh, I think she's pretty much able to do whatever she wants. I don't think she has any tie-downs. Like, she's definitely not damned into one style. So she definitely has the versatility that gives her the opportunity to fire up and do a lot of different types of stuff that would, you know, totally make her eclectic, which is very cool.
Well, thank you.
We really need your help with this. You know, Screwdriver and I are a little bit lame in the music department, so any advice you can give us. Now, Stormy, you know Charlie's a little shy on stage, so any chance he's on stage, you could be out there to help him. I know he'd appreciate that because it's a little shy.
I'll dance. Make faces at him.
Well, as long as you're not driving, you'll be okay.
Yeah. Did y'all check out those bloopers?
I did, but I didn't show it to Bill yet. We ran out of time.
Oh,
we were looking at some other stuff and talking about what we were going to do, and I was playing some of your songs for him, and I didn't have time to play that, but I will show it to him.
See, one of the problems here in San Diego and L.A. and Orange County is there's really so much of Screwdriver and I to do that this weekend. He's doing 2 events up north. I'm doing 2 events down in San Diego, North County, and we might get together
at the third one.
The third event. So this is really 3 events in one day. It takes a lot out of us anymore. Can't do the same things together hardly ever. There's too much to go. So
and it'll be about 400 to 500 miles round trip.
Hey, what's plan B?
It's better than being stuck in Van Bord.
The most event doing
as long as you're enjoying what you're doing.
Well, like I said, plan B, stay home, watch TV. That's never going to happen for Screwdriver and I. We're just too mobile out here. But we do get the wonderful weather, so that is kind of nice that, you know, we can ride all year round.
I think it's Frank on the phone, but what I wanted to do was, Charlie, you've been playing email tag with Frank?
Yeah, actually, he sent me a message, I believe, on Facebook, too. So, yeah, we're just, you know, I've been running drastically crazy, going to be going on, you know, for 3 weeks. So it's just been a point of crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's and haven't had a chance to sit down and do a whole bunch. But,
okay.
Yeah, I've definitely been playing tag.
And, Stormy, I'm going to introduce you to Frank tonight, but he sent me an email today. I sent him Rusty's Into the Blackness video.
Okay.
The one they played on Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
And he wanted to know how they got that gig, and I introduced him to RJ. So I've made a connection there for him. We'll see. But he was curious on how they got that gig. So maybe we want to elaborate a little bit on that one. He's unmuted. You're there, Frank, aren't you?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
I'm okay, glad you tuned in tonight,
Frank. Bill, this is Frank Belangi.
I think I met him last time, didn't I?
Right.
Yeah, Frank. Bill Kennedy and, of course, Screwdriver next to me.
How you guys doing? I just got back, so I just made it in time.
Well, you know, we got Stormy on, and we've also got our good boy down there, the man himself, the myth, the legend, Ali Vega. So, listen,
Charlie.
Hey.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
How you doing there?
So, Scooter, you tell me about how it all wrapped up a little bit here, with how you set the meeting up.
Which meeting?
I think you're talking about last weekend when you were doing with Illusion.
Oh.
And the Harley Davidson people, or which?
Oh, well, what happened was, I don't know if I told you about this one, Charlie, or Stormy. I don't think you'll get to hear it first, too, but what happened was we went to the Bikers Against Diabetes ride.
Right.
One of the rare occasions Bill and I were also together, and we were talking to Willie G, took a picture with him, bullshit a little
bit. Davidson man, yep.
And then we met
him. He ate with us,
basically.
They threw us in the VIP area, you know, nothing but the best. So,
right,
yeah.
And
we snuck in.
Well, I had that card.
I know,
that
we were VIP.
What happened was we also ran into his daughter, Karen.
Grendo,
So you guys, if you listen to my show, you hear me talk about Illusion Cycles all the time. That's Rusty and T-Rod, and Rusty has the band called Attica 7. T-Rod is the dirt track bike guy.
And a sidecar racer, speedway racer.
Master fabricator. Right.
Not a bolt-on master fabricator.
Makes what he needs.
From metal, he breathes life.
Right. So what happened was... I tried to get to Willie to get him, but we missed him by 10 minutes. But actually, you got to talk to his daughter.
Karen, yeah.
She took the time to watch the video that he made from the night before where he won his first race. He beat Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Honda. And as soon as the guy introduced it was a Harley dirt track bike, the crowd went nuts because they've never seen a Harley Davidson in so long that... people were going crazy. Same thing with the sidecar bike.
Right.
And if you've ever seen a sidecar bike, that's where one guy's driving and the other guy's hanging on for dear life.
This guy's called the monkey. So, you got go ahead.
And then what happened was there's a couple of guys that are advisors to the show. Rusty's built a couple of bikes for Kurt and a few guys on the show, and. Bill and I are pitching Sutter to, Bill wants to play the grandpa, I'll play the dad, and he's trying to find a part for us.
Now they're talking about how can Bill Kennedy fit in the show, and I figured, well, somebody must need a grandfather or something. I don't think I can make a prospect, I'm too old for that, and I'm not going to be a patch holder, I'm too old for that, so, I'll be the grandfather to somebody in the club. That'll be good for me.
Yeah, but the father's son and father's son.
There you go.
But that's it in a nutshell, Frank. How I know
this. Go on there and kill somebody.
That too.
Well, I'm having a little problem right now. I wanted to get it off my chest. See, there is a conspiracy in Hollywood at this time to try to hold me back. People like Brad Pitt. A lot of people out there right now, they're just not willing because they're afraid to let me be on stage. They give me the radio because everybody says I have the perfect face for radio. I do little TV spots, but... they just won't give me a leading role, and I'm assuming it is because of the presence, the natural beauty. They think I'm too much of a pretty boy. That's all I can think, you know? You guys laughing at me? Stormy, you can appreciate my qualities, I hope, anyway. Those other people just,
Bill,
you know.
And we
need
just
some
had,
bad publicity. Bill, you need some bad publicity. That'll take care of it.
Well, I tried to kill the president of the Belfast chapter. Remember a few months back?
Right, a few months back.
I was going to throw him off a second-story roof because he had that little problem. He bugged me, but
have you seen?
We solved that, though.
Charlie knows who we're talking about. Stormy and Frank, I'm not sure if they know. You guys watch the Sons of Anarchy at all?
Yeah.
Okay,
I watched
wait. What season are you on, Stormy?
I saw the third one. I'm anticipating the fourth.
Okay. Tommy, don't say that. Like I said, Tommy, what's this I hear about how much you like Opie? Where did I hear that from? Was that somewhere I heard up in Hollywood or something? Where did I hear that from? Is that true? Is that a fabrication, Stormy?
Was it?
Do you like Opie and the Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah, I like Opie. I like Ryan Hurst.
That, where did we hear that from?
I remember the Titans. He's a great actor. But I have to say, Tig is my favorite.
Tig is? Tig's okay, people. I got to say this, and...
Well, I just want to interrupt you real quick, but if you go on my Facebook page there, Stormy, you'll see Tig, you'll see Theo Rossi, you'll see Opie, you'll see basically everybody that's on the show. And I'm sure if you tag them, and they'll see the link came from me, they'll accept your friend request.
We just had Andy down on my motorcycle.
I think I have Theo Rossi and, like, Dayton Kelly and Ryan Hurst on my page. Can't remember who all I have, though. But I think I've already friended them in my lame attempts to try and find them and talk to them. I'm a bit of a fan.
Well, Saturday I'm going to see a few of them.
Yeah.
And I don't know what time. It depends. I'll see them.
Well, who was up there, too? Who was at the show? Emilio was at the show. Emilio, the president of the Mayans Motorcycle Club.
Right.
He was at the party last week with us, and then at the
he was there.
Big Bear Chopper, right?
Right, he was there.
Everybody was there.
Everybody was there.
Yeah.
And then
he played Alvarez, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And then also...
he just turned 50 this week.
And also...
really?
The guy who plays Jax's dad.
Ron Perlman?
I've not met him.
Or, like, his actual dad.
Your real dad. Oh, you've
got Ron
Perlman.
On the show.
You've got Ron Perlman. His
stepdad.
Yeah.
Ron Perlman killed his dad.
Yeah.
I've not met his mother.
Yeah.
But that hasn't come out yet. But just to give you guys a teaser on season 4... It'll be 15 months later, and the Russians take over.
And the Sons of Anarchy are going to go to jail for a while. They get them on some conspiracy. See, we are awful lucky that we do live in where we live, because this is such a natural thing for us to do, socialize and schmooze, as we say out here. But you and I are actually talking to three people with great talent.
Right.
And the only talent we really have is the fact we ride our motorcycles hard, and we get to be around TV stars, movie stars. Here
right.
We have three people that really are talent, and it's because of location, they're not exposed as much as we are.
No, and as Art said earlier, we're a couple of social butterflies.
Well, you know, there's no reason to slow down.
No, but Charlie, to get back to Saturday, you guys are going to be playing at what time?
We start at 9 o'clock. Stormy starts at 9 o'clock.
Okay, so now that'll be 6 my time?
That's correct. Or 7 your time, I think.
No, it's 3. I think it's 3 hours.
Is it?
I think it's three hours.
What time is it now?
Not exactly now. Here it's 8:48.
10 to 9. Yeah, 10 to 9 there. And then it should be 10 to 10 in North Carolina. But
that's right. North Carolina. You're right.
Yeah, and I'll see if I can get somebody to make a phone call and say hello to somebody here. But I'm not going to pin myself down by saying who or what yet. But when you guys get there, so you're going to play at Crazy Shot Billiards?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be like an all-evening affair or till the...
It might turn into one.
Well, okay.
The deal we made, the deal I made, Stormy don't know, but I mean, it's till the party's over. There's no set time. That's why it just says on the poster 9 o'clock is when it starts. So it's till the last person falls down.
You guys
don't
want to
be negative, but can you tell a little bit, Stormy, some of the pitfalls that you've had to deal with? I know she's a big girl. I know she's gone through some experiences, but can you tell us some of the things that may have kind of turned you off, and yet for whatever reason you stayed in the music industry?
Are you talking to me?
Charlie, please, yeah.
Yeah, okay, all right, yeah. Oh, no, man, I mean, I guess I just didn't group past all of it, you know. Sure, there's plenty of things that you feel like you got your ass kicked about, and you know, and you feel like, oh, screw that and screw this, but I've been around too many years now to give a rat's ass, man. I learned to do what you like to do and do it the way you want to do it, and that's all that counts, because you're never going to please anybody trying to please anybody. So just go be yourself and hang out.
That's good.
I got over at that shit a long time ago.
And I'll tell you what.
My advice.
I'll tell you what, Bill. I broke bread with this guy. I spent time in his house. I spent time with him.
But don't ever take me
to
that.
You guys seem awful close.
Yeah, we are. But don't ever take me to that bar unless they got some real good-looking women that are going to get out in the pole, okay, buddy?
You slept at his house with him?
No, I didn't sleep with him.
Well, where'd you sleep?
I had my own room, Bill.
Did you go to Charlie's house?
He didn't need to sleep with me. Have you ever seen a picture of his...
No, I've heard her voice once or twice.
Okay,
no.
Well, he had a better offer that night.
Okay, well, did you ask Charlie, could you go home with him, or did Charlie invite you home?
No, I was invited from the get-go.
Asked you to come to his house?
Yes, and she's a fantastic cook.
Why do you keep defending yourself? Huh?
I'm not. Why
I'm just asking. I'm just wondering.
It's my turn to get involved. Anyway, so it's going to be an all-night thing, and then do you have any, are you going with Stormy, are you going with Charlie, or are you just doing the one gig?
Well, I would love to be able to go with him, but we've got to be able to come back here because me and my mom helped take care of my grandmother. It's her 91st birthday today, actually. So,
hey, tell grandma we said
happy birthday.
In fact, if you can get around the horn, Bill will sing happy birthday to her.
I will.
All right.
And then, Charlie, so after North Carolina, you're going up to New England, correct?
Yep. Yeah, I'm gonna go to Virginia Beach on Sunday and then head to New England on Monday.
And what's the first stop in up that way?
You know, you had to ask me that question. I don't know. I think it's someplace in Rhode Island.
I'll
check the schedule.
That might be a good thing for you to know, Charlie, before you start heading up that way.
I know where I'm going. I'm going to Smithfield, Rhode Island when I head to New England. That's where rehearsals are with the band. And that's all I know for sure. And then the rest of the dates are posted. I know I'm going to be in Arundel, Maine. Everything's pretty much on the coast. I'll be in Maine that weekend. That's going to be 4th of July weekend, and I'll be playing in Maine. Looking forward to that. Maine and Rhode Island.
Is that special party over the weekend?
Yeah, there's a couple of good ones going on over the weekend, and looking very forward to that. And then we, you know, during the course of that week, because it's kind of like a long 4th of July week, vacation spots we're hitting all on the coast. We're in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, back in and out of Rhode Island and Maine. It's just all that kind of little zone of New England up there.
You're going to go to Boston too, right?
Yeah, I that's what I was told. Somebody said they were going to, take us out to eat and do stuff like that on one of our days off. So we'll see how that all worked out. Yeah.
Okay. And then you might be able to, maybe if you guys can get together, you might be able to run into Frank at some point during that leg of the trip.
Yeah, I'm going to be all over there on the coast. It's all posted on my website at bickersongs.com under tour dates, exactly where the locations and times are. So if Frank's anywhere near there, man, please stop by.
Can you guys still hear me? Or?
Yeah.
I hear you, man.
You're muted.
Hey, you got a question or a statement? Jump in. Be part of the conversation.
Yeah, I was going to say if you're playing in New York, I'll definitely come out and meet you and stuff. And I know you've been busy as far as getting things together, so... But, we'll hook up over the internet here sometime when you get some things settled and see what's going on.
Yeah, cool. I mean, the New York leg, I was going to come there first, and it got postponed, and I hope to do that maybe later in the year or next spring. But so it all ended up on the coast over on New England, so I actually physically will not go all the way into New York or Long Island area. But I hope to do that next time. Everything I'm doing is going to be really right there on the coast of Mass, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, and Maine, and Connecticut.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been
playing out? Sounds like you're going to have fun.
Yeah, I hope so. Hope the weather's good.
How long have you guys been playing? like playing out like gigs and stuff? Like when did you first start?
I'm an old man. I've been playing a lot since the 80s. I've kind of been there and done it, you know, in a lot of different ways. So I'm just back at another lick at it right now. And, you know, I'm fortunate. I mean, I kind of worked out situations where I got, you know, these guys that are working with me up there. I'll have a band up there. And I do a lot of solo acoustic shows. And even up there on this tour, there's 10 shows on a certain leg of the tour, and 6 of them will be with the band, and 4 of them will be solo acoustic shows. And I do that out on the West Coast as well. I got a band out there, and I have, you know, musicians that I work with here in the Nashville area if something arises. But I don't really play a lot around Nashville. I do some bike nights and things like that. But there's just not a whole lot happening for, you know, I guess you just don't play at home as much. It just works out that you travel to do what you do.
Yeah. It sounds like
that's
you got to do something similar to me. Because I do a lot of solo shows, and I'll do band shows and kind of split them up like you do and stuff. And I think it's pretty cool because, I mean, it mixes stuff up, too, rather than, like, playing with a band every single night, you know. There's something about, like, playing by yourself is a little bit of freedom, too, you know.
Yeah. Well, I would do the band thing, but there's a lot of logistical issues with that. So that
creates
a whole other animal of you know, what it takes to run that operation. That's a machine within itself.
And there's so many personalities to have to deal with at once, too.
Mm-hmm.
Certain people not liking the song a certain way, or not wanting to come out on the stage this way, or thinking they're standing too close to this side of the stage or something. So you got to consider that, too, whenever you're getting a band together.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is just be the artist and tell those guys what you want, and tell them if they don't like it, then they can move on and you'll get another one. You know, just replace
Yeah, without getting into lead singer disorder, too.
Yeah,
there's that
I've been very fortunate. I know a lot of professional people, and I'm lucky to work with professional people. And these guys, you know, it's not like that. So it's very, very loose in that manner, but tight in the professional side. So it just, you know, that's just like Bill asked the question a while ago, what turned you off and what made you almost quit? It's like, hell, I couldn't tell you. All I know is that I just reached a point where, you know, you fall into a niche and you just do that because that's who you are and what you do. When you discover who you are, you know, the most famous quote in my mind, Sonny Barger said, I know who I am. And when you can say that about yourself, you know, when I read that, I said, wow, you know, that's a pretty bold statement. I know who I am, because most people don't. And I think I know who I am. And I think he helped me discover that in that quote by making me realize, wow, you know, that's a pretty cool thing to say.
I would briefly say, I would quote similar to that. If I do anything, it's people out there who do nothing. They're going to be the ones that criticize me. And so I just go ahead and do it. And that's, I've never been, you can critique me, criticize me. That's all right. If I think it's the right thing to do, that's how I feel about it. But it's always the people that I got to listen to who do nothing. They're the ones that are picking me apart, saying, oh, he could have done this better. Oh, he could have brought more people in. He could have had a bigger. Everybody's a critic, but the people that pick on me, they do nothing.
Well, until you walk a mile in my shoes, Bill, I tell you, shut the fuck up.
Do you hear this? We have a lady on the show tonight, and I'm sure Stormy's mother's there. We have two ladies on the show.
I apologize.
See that? You are old.
I'm not going to say it right now because I am trying to act like a little lady, but my mama taught me how to say that word, too. It's fine, honey. You go ahead and say it as much as you want.
This is the last bastion.
Pretty for that word.
Well.
That's true.
In the presence of a lady, we should try to act like gentlemen.
You're right.
I apologize. That's right.
Well, thank you.
And then, go ahead and ask Charlie that question.
What was the question? I asked him the question.
No, the one you asked me if I...
Oh, okay. Charlie, I'm a little confused here.
It's coming, dude.
Screwdriver went to your house because you invited him. Is that right?
Yeah.
Now, you and Screwdriver are telling me you two did not sleep together. Is that right?
Yeah.
At your house.
That's correct.
Now, Screwdriver's bringing me... Wife, hey, show me pictures of your wife. Screwdriver, are you trying to make a left-handed statement here? Are you trying to imply something?
No.
You didn't sleep with Charlie, and now you show me pictures of No, what is it you want
to
say?
Wait a minute now.
What is it you're trying to say? I just want to get...
You asked me.
Just the facts.
You asked me if I had a picture.
I just want to see a child's wife. I've heard
and
her.
I showed you the picture,
yeah.
And you asked me. I slept at
Charlie's
house.
I
want to
know who you slept with. You said you didn't sleep with Charlie. If you
and
didn't,
I didn't
sleep with
sleep
Charlie,
either.
One would assume.
No.
I just want to get this straight, because I'm
no.
sure she's a lady also, and the fact that you're smirking her reputation,
I would never do that.
You know?
No, I would never do that.
All right. Okay. Charlie, I'm protecting your wife here. I take great umbrage. Her attitude, mister.
You're killing me.
Well, I mean, I Philip said he usually sleeps alone because he already has a handful. He can't feel ever anybody.
Stormy, put your hands over your ears, honey. They're going this far.
Here we go. you got me.
I know. I'm trying to go back to music, and I've kind of lost it a little bit in your Tommy, tell me about your mother's effect. Is she 100% behind you? Is she out there, beating the drums and letting the people know? And how in your neighborhood are you getting your name out to the world? Two-part question, please.
Well, there's actually not too much to be able to get out around here. They have, like, the Iris Festival and stuff like that, which obviously isn't that big of a deal. So we've kind of had to reach out a little bit further because, I mean, we're an hour away from an interstate. So, but she's been completely 100% supportive of me. So I'm really lucky on that front because the way it is with a lot of musicians, their parents aren't really into that. And they don't really want them to go into that field. They want them to be like doctors and lawyers and all that sort of thing. They don't want their kid risking everything on a career that may or may not happen. So, but I'm pretty lucky that she's supported me this far.
Now, at times you feel that her job overlaps where she's always going to be your mother, but sometimes she's like the manager. Do you feel she wears many hats?
Oh, yes.
With all that?
The manager contract is called the birth certificate. She will forevermore have a place of control. And, I mean, I'm totally cool with that. Me and her, I always say we're like twins born like 37 years apart. So we get along on a lot of different fronts.
I come from my father died when I just turned 17. I got drafted. My family is everything to me. My family, we raise ourselves, so I agree with that. Why are you interrupting me now?
I'm not. Charlie had the boogie.
Oh, okay.
And he said thank you and everything. And
he's not going to talk anymore now because you made it. You offended his wife. I know.
Oh, no, there you go.
That's wrong. I bet you Stormy's
cool
mother's not going to let her on the show now.
Oh, you're
Charlie,
killing me. Charlie had to hang up.
Oh, I was going to say, he seems like a cool guy, and he's really
very
digging
good
his soul.
He's not happy
now
that he's ever made those references about his wife, though.
Oh,
I think he hung up because he's mad.
He's a sweetheart. I'm looking forward to doing the show with him. And Sonia's a sweetheart, too. She and has a really pretty daughter. I met her, and all of them are just so nice and welcoming. We went over to Charlie's house for us to do a practice not that long ago, and I mean, just felt right at home.
Stormy, how do you fit in with kids your own age? Do you just feel that because of the route you're on now, the direction and the experience you're building up, do you feel more uncomfortable with children your own, with people your own age? Do you feel
you can say children, but
I slipped out. Sorry.
I don't know. I left public school whenever I was in the middle of my freshman year, and since then I've hung out with maybe like five or six different friends that are even close to that age, and I think the youngest one of them is like 20. So I tend to shy away a little bit more from people my age because they're extremely immature, and I'm just not patient enough to listen to them all the time. So I don't know. I would say I get along a little bit better with people who are older and
mature enough to understand.
You sometimes feel some of the teenagers that you do associate with, they hold you a little bit distant, a little bit of awed, because you do have a talent, you have a direction, whereas most teenagers, and when I was a teenager, I didn't have a clue. So for me to talk to somebody when I was your age that had a direction, a program, I wouldn't really be comfortable with that person. Do you feel that you're alienated a bit because you do have a program, a quest per se?
Somewhat, yes and no. They've kind of gotten used to me not always being around and stuff like that, and they're cool with it. They're really supportive, but they're not all, you know, mind blown about it and stuff like that, and they're not just extremely confused about it. They get it enough to know that it's what I want to do and that they're going to support me on that. They're just really good friends about it.
That's outstanding. I didn't necessarily mean like being like, you know, starstruck and all that, but they don't have any plans at all in their life. Very few of them do at that age, and yet you seem to be on a path, on a mission. I would figure that if I was a teenager, that might kind of, you know, I'd be kind of uncomfortable because as a teenager, I didn't know what I was going to do. My plan was to get out of high school. I had a Harley Davidson when I was in high school. I worked very hard to get my motorcycle. All I wanted to do was to ride my motorcycle to San Francisco to find them hippies. That was my whole goal in life. So I had a very limited goal. So what are you doing now? Why do you keep bugging me? I'm
not
talking to Stormy on the
phone.
No, sorry.
You asked me.
Oh, this is Stormy. He's got a picture of you. I haven't seen a picture of you before. Oh.
How old are
you? You seem awfully happy in the picture.
Which picture is it?
Who's the cool guy with all the rings? What picture you showed?
Oh, the guy with all the rings? That's Bobby Bowden.
Oh, okay.
But I'm a huge football fan, so if you're talking about the picture I think you're talking about, that would be Bobby Bowden.
Yes, it would be, yeah.
So actually, Bill's mesmerized by the referee outfit you're wearing with the Florida State hat with the bad call, Brick.
Yeah, that was my Halloween costume.
Stormy, he's the engineer. He's pulling the stuff up. I'm not going to take a bad rap for that. He's sitting there just... No, that's the picture I like. Can you describe that picture? This is the one I like the most there.
It looks like
he's sitting in a car, maybe?
Yeah, that's a self-shot.
Self-shot, Stormy?
This
you've
was
got
taken,
the, two
this,
necklaces?
This was taken on October 5th, 2010, Bill.
Okay.
I have no idea which one it is. It's probably just one of those little take a picture real quick with your phone sort of thing.
That one, you seem absolutely, completely natural, and that's always nice to go.
Well, thank you.
I'm very lucky when they put me in the magazine. Like when I'm on stage, they take, what is Pete taking, a couple hundred shots?
Yeah.
See, only one or two get in, so I'm always guaranteed they'll have a good picture in the magazine because they go through hundreds to get one or two.
Well, actually, Bill, we're gonna be posing for a movie poster here pretty soon.
Yeah, that's right, too.
In fact, you already took my shots.
Yeah.
You're up next.
Yeah.
They'll be down here in a couple weeks.
We need more than
doing music there.
Stormy, that's a question to you, please.
Oh, I couldn't hear you. What'd you say, hon?
Oh, I said, how long have you been doing music for?
Well, Mom says that I've been singing pretty much my whole life, but professionally, I guess I wanted to really just go that exact direction whenever I was nine. Started getting really into it whenever I was about nine.
Wow. It's funny because I hear, like, the story, you know, you guys are talking about high school with friends and stuff, and I kind of went through the same thing as far as, like when he asked, do you feel alienated type thing. And I think anybody, when you're that young and you absolutely know what you want to do, people look at you different. I mean, they respect you for it, but they don't quite get it at the same time, and I don't think they can. I mean, I don't know if you had some
they
time,
can't
like a
until
hard
they
time.
Figure out what they want to do themselves.
Exactly, yeah. And then a lot of the times, like, I had a couple friends that they don't know what the heck they want to do, and then they start to lash out on you, you know?
Yeah. I've got a couple of friends that I still hang out with that are like that, so I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about just clear, you know, making that clear vision in your head. Okay, this is what I want to do. Nobody's going to stop me. Like, my motto is there's no plan B. in my career. You know, this is what I want to do. You know, that's my plan A, and that's what I'm going to go with. And
I hear you.
You'll get there. Everyone gets there. Everybody's just got.
You know, my mother told me I did come from a very poor family. My father died when I turned 17. My mother said, "We have to work for a living. Every one of us, do what you want to do, and it won't be work." She said, "I don't care if you guys have long hair and beards and tattoos, and if what you want to do the motorcycles, I will support and endorse you guys any way you want. Make sure it's what you want to do." Now I laugh because my brother, Mike Kennedy, myself, own Kennedy's Custom Cycles. Screwdriver and I hang around the movie stars, and I hear this crap from people, "Oh, you guys were born with silver spoons, and you guys get every break." I made every break. I made it by hard work. And I find those people that say, "Oh, Bill's so lucky," and all that. If everybody would find what they want to do and work at it, no matter what the job is, I believe you will be successful.
That's very true. And if somebody wants something bad enough, they will work for it.
Oh, yeah. They'll have the drive and the passion. And, you know, if it's in your blood, it's in your blood. You know, it kind of comes like a part of you. It's kind of weird to explain, but...
It's just like what I do. I'm a welder, pipe welder. Anything with steel, I can do. And I showed Bill a picture today. He was really surprised because I told him this is the 13th shift, and I've been
the size of your big thing here is pretty impressive.
Right. And
I didn't know your thing was that big before.
They just got it.
We're talking about the ships, guys. I don't know where you guys are going here.
But no, what it is
shame on you, Stormy.
Yeah, what it is when you get a couple of plates of steel that are 30 to 40 feet long, and at the end result you've got 689 feet of hull and another 180 feet in the air of ship compartments, tanks, everything like that, and. The picture I showed Bill today is the part of the house block where the stacks are, and everybody involved in building this. And right now we're on the 13th. We're building the 14th one, and I just the same thing when I work on the Navy ships, the live Navy ships, and when they're in port getting repaired. It's just a feeling that I get when I'm done that I know when those guys leave, I know I did my job. I know I won't have to worry about anything happening to anybody on that ship.
That's just pride of workmanship. That's self-discipline.
That's it.
I know a lot of motorcycle shops have failed because they try to take the shortcut. There are no shortcuts in life. You work hard, and Stormy, I want you to know this. My shop is called Kennedy's Custom Cycles. It's my family name on the motorcycle shop. When you're in my home, you're a guest in my home. When you're in my motorcycle shop, you're a guest, you're an extension of my home. I place my value on my name so unbelievable that I would sell my shop, but I would not sell my name. If you're proud of your family, if you've got good family background, that's absolutely... Now, Frank, let me just jump a little bit. Frank, I was talking about pride of family and background and being happy and successful. What do you place upon your reputation in the business as an honest man? Good musician. Tell us how you place that to you.
Well,
I know you sometimes play with bands and all that. How important is what people, not that, I don't want to say what people think of you, but that people respect you. I guess that's the word I want. How important is that?
I mean, it's important. I think everybody would, you know, wants that. And, I mean, you can't have it 100%, but, you know, if you can, it just makes you feel like you're actually maybe doing your job a little bit better. Because sometimes, like, you know, you can be so deep into it that it's just like, am I doing anything that anyone cares about, even though I love it? And it's just nice to get that feedback and stuff. But, I mean, like when I play out, my parents always come out. My players' parents come out, part of their families, their friends. We have close people, you know, that come over. There's always people on my Facebook and stuff always sending me messages and things. And it's, you know, it's nice to have other people sort of looking out for you. And, you know, I try to provide more of a positive atmosphere. And, you know, my whole thing is you can do rock music and stuff, but, you don't have to go down that long road of getting into all the drinking and the drugs and all that just to make good rock songs. And
exactly.
You know,
we have another caller
that
wants to jump in, too. Can you put you on 1 second there? Merlin Bianco, you out there, buddy?
Yeah, I am. How are
you,
Bill? I
want to ask a question to the future Stormy or Frank? Our future stars, I was going to say. Why do you keep interrupting me?
I was reaching for
Merlin,
a drink.
Jump in and because I'm going to hit him in about 2 seconds.
I've been listening to this. This is great. One, how are you, Stormy? It is a pleasure to hear you again.
Hey, honey.
I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to say hi to Charlie. And Sonia, I know she's not on the phone.
They're listening. He's tuning up his guitars right now. But
she's too smart to deal with
probably
this crowd.
Call back.
But I have visited their house also. Didn't sleep with either one of them. Didn't sleep with Phil either. But
Bill's a hater.
Sure.
Bill's a hater. Don't worry about it.
I'm
Bill's a hater.
I'm just trying to protect Stormy and her mother from you
I don't
wretched
even
want
to know. But you're talking about pride of workmanship and the family name, and boy, I understand that big time. And when I've done a good job and I know it, I really feel it too. And I'm proud to have somebody take my airplane and ring the hell out of it and come home and put it down on the ground and walk away from the airplane instead of having to be lifted and carried out. That's always been something, a real source of pride for me. And I hear it in both your music, and Charlie's, and you know, it's not like Charlie has got a pride either, but I've known Bill over the years, and he's proud of his shop, and he's proud of his name. Mostly, he's proud of his name and has built the shop to carry that pride. But anyway.
Well, apart from having the drive inside, like wanting to do that so bad, knowing that you've got your family name and how much pride you do take in that, I'm sure that pushes you just a little bit further to strive to be the best that you can.
Yeah, you do. I've had the opportunity to work with my uncle, and he's been in business since 1959 or 60. And when I go in and work for him, it's everything that goes out the door has the family name on it. I know exactly what Bill, it's the name Bianco is on everything that goes out the door. And so there is no quality control. If it screws up, it's your name on it. And, that's the quality control because everybody does it right the first time because they want to be proud of it. And it's old world craftsmanship. And it's not that it's going away, but it is underappreciated, I think. You still find it. And obviously, you know, we're a crowd that appreciates it and tries to deliver.
Merlin, what state are you in today?
Right now, I am about 400 yards away from the Atlantic Ocean. I am in Delaware.
Oh,
I got tired of being rained on in the Shenandoah Valley. As pretty as it is, it's wet up there. And even if it's not raining, you're standing there sweating. So I decided this morning I was going to go to the beach. And
I want to say,
that you were going to be through, that you went through Memphis. Did you ever hit any bad weather whenever you came through?
I've hit bad weather in a remarkable number of days ending in Y. I got rained on in Memphis, little bit of rain on Beale Street just to make that worthwhile. And Lexington, Kentucky, the other night I was in Somersville, West Virginia. There's a major bluegrass festival going on there. And the first night, which was the only one I could do because they allowed me in free, rained like mad. Just poured. But the people of West Virginia, it's an amazing group of people out there. There's little tiny roads and little tiny towns. About every 3 miles, there's another little town. Coal mine shutdown have played a major part in the economy up there. It's kind of choking all over itself. But the people are still alive and well. I stopped in on, don't know if I mentioned it Tuesday night, that I had a guy actually pull up alongside of me and hand me $20. He and I had talked at gas station about what I was doing, and he pulled up alongside of me a little while later and handed me $20 and then rode off.
Merlin, let me stop there 1 second, please. Would you actually explain to the people, some we have some old listeners, we have some new people, tell us exactly what you're doing, where you're going, and how anybody can reach you or they can invite you to where they are, please.
Well, what I'm doing is I'm in the 13th month of what I call the last road trip. I left San Diego in May of 2010 and headed out to go find America. Years ago, I went looking for America, but I hadn't found me yet. And this time, I'm really bringing me with it. And it's been absolutely amazing. I met Stormy in Nashville along with Charlie Baker. And
well, if you're in Delaware right now, you could probably get up to New York way and run into Frank.
Well, I would love to. Right now, I hit what we call in the business financial difficulties. Basically, I'm just about two tank full of gas away from being stranded. I've run out of money, and it's a surprise maybe to everybody but me, or maybe I'm the only one that is surprised. But I finally realized that that's it. I've pretty much run out of money. I've been trying to find a little work now and then. I've had some generous people on the road. But if anybody's got a spare couple of nickels, man, I could use some help. But even if I turn this thing off right now and, say, sold the bike and took a plane back to the coast and started over again, it has been the neatest year of my life. Absolutely.
You met some interesting people.
I have met a wad of interesting people, one of whom, my God, that's one I really don't want to deal with again, but the other 987 have been well worth dealing with again. My email list has doubled and tripled with people I'm staying in touch with. I don't want to stop. I'm really having a lot of fun, and I keep meeting neat people.
Merlin, can you tell us how people can reach you?
Well, yeah.
You can get them right here.
Well, people need to know that.
Merlin Bianco, MerlinBianco, 1, the digit 1, at Juno, JUNO.com. And I have had people comp me motel rooms and campgrounds. Couch surfing has become a well, you know, well-regarded art in America, and I've had, the best part has been I meet somebody that I could not have met any other way. If you don't sit into a little tiny town and help somebody put a monument together for their great-great-grandmother, you can't do that any other way. And these have been remarkable things to do. I've learned how to take down a circus tent.
Anybody would like to reach Merlin and invite him to spend the night, spend the weekend, he's open, because I have a place to stay is important, but meeting people, Americans, that's what he's really trying to find right now. He says he's trying to find himself. He's well-educated.
Yeah,
he knows enough going on, but
I think I
there's
found
Americans
me.
He wants. That's what he wants.
And that's finding America and Americans. And, the states that the bike and I have ridden through this last year, just about everything south and west of Pennsylvania, although I did discover somehow I missed Kansas, so there's a hole in my donut. But I'm looking forward to getting up north into Maine. I'd love to be able to catch, you know, Charlie. I had hopes of swinging into North Carolina and catching you guys this weekend, but that unfortunately, I can't do that. But, I mean, right now, I'm going to bunk down in the back parking lot of a big gas station in Bethany, Delaware, because it works. It's cool. It's
well, you know what, Merlin, two things. Merlin, if I can for a second, I want to play something by Stormy, and what is the one that I liked earlier? I just sampled it. Do you remember the name of it?
Yeah, Someone
Like Me.
Someone Like Me.
Stormy, is that one of the ones you like?
Yes, it is. And actually, the show in North Carolina is going to be the first time I ever play it out live anywhere without having a backing track or band or anything like that. It's going to be just me and my guitar stripped down. It's going to be the first time I ever play it.
I wish I could say I listened to every single word and all that, but Screwdriver said, pick a couple of songs out, and so I sampled all of them. But this is a song I thought it suited you very well. And
with your
indulgence, everybody, we'd like to play.
We'll do that.
Like
we're
going to
do that, and then we're going to play one. We're also going to play some of Frank's.
That's
stuff
what I was kind of waiting for you. What have you got for Frank's? I want to hear something for Frank's, but I haven't got to sample them.
Yeah.
You got one picked out
from
Frank?
Yes, I got one picked out from Frank.
Okay.
I don't think you heard Driving the Lines there.
No, you read my mind. That's the one.
All right. Then let's hear one for Stormy first.
Yeah, and then we'll go back and we'll talk a little bit.
Yeah,
and then we'll jump into Frank.
We'll hear Frank's style, yeah. Not that I'm a musician. I don't understand any style, but I guess I kind of know what my ear's like anyway. Let me have something by Stormy, okay?
There you go.
Someone Like Me. She dedicated this to me. She was thinking about me when she wrote this song.
Of course.
Have fun, only.
would like to comment on this again, and please understand I'm not a musician or a critic, or I'm tone deaf. I have no understanding at all, but I think you wear that song well. I sincerely, I guess I believe the words you're singing, so therefore that gives the song credibility. You want to comment on that, brother?
I feel the same way, Bill. I mean, she's got a nice sound. And as much as we deal with the heavy metal guys.
And the
bands that we deal with.
It's refreshing.
I
can only like music if I can believe the singer, and the words, of course, are very important to me. There's the music and there's the words. They're two different entities coming together like a man and woman in a marriage. There are two things in music, and sometimes they don't come together. And I like the way you wear that song, by the way, Stormy. And Stormy's not going to talk to me anymore? Stormy? You lost Stormy.
Hey, can you hear me?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Sorry, the phone must have been glitching or something like that. But thank you very much. The cool thing about that song, actually, is that is the only song on the whole CD that wasn't written by one of the writers in Nashville that I know.
The CD I heard
that song on, I got out.
Who was the creator of the song then?
His name was Randy Noonan. Is Randy Noonan. But he's actually going to come out to the show in North Carolina. I think he's going to try and come out to the show, him and the band that used to do that song. He wrote the song, but he is good friends with, like, Uncle Tiny and Uncle Kenny and all them, so over there in North Carolina. So that's how I got that song.
I think very successful, and for the public to accept it, the public has to associate with it. And you can't appreciate a song about hurt if you haven't been hurt. And I think most people have. So when you talk about anything that the public can associate with and you sound sincere, I think that's the secret to success, you know? You're being yourself and you're sharing yourself with the public. You make yourself vulnerable to us public, I guess.
Right.
Am I getting a little too out of whack?
Frank does the same thing, Bill.
I don't know. I haven't heard Frank yet. Talking shit. I haven't heard Frank yet.
I may not like Frank. I may not like his music.
Why you always got to tell me what to do?
No, but we can go that way right now.
We're going to hear something from Frank in just
this
a
is,
moment.
This is
you're my one
but
track
the way that I really
week,
learned
though.
How to be myself and be comfortable playing and singing at the same time was like with Uncle Waylon and Trent out at the clubhouse. So, I mean, I always tried playing and I tried singing and never really could get it to mesh together because I was always so focused on having everything technically perfect. But, I mean, I got out there, and they showed me that it's not about how well you sing. It's about how well you entertain and how you can make people relate to the song better, I guess you could say. So, that little bit of wisdom to them. They have really helped me out there.
Stormy, I want to share something with you, and I want to ask Frank a question. I am on stage an awful lot. I do a lot of MCing for a lot of big groups.
The only thing they do, but the bad part is they won't let him sing.
Stormy, I have sang professionally with ZZ Top.
I have sang professionally with
the Doobie Brothers.
I give you that one.
I have sang professionally with Branscombe
Richards. I love the Doobie Brothers. Old Black Water is my favorite one.
They said to me, Stormy, Bill, you are perfect on stage. You are Mr. Personality. You don't have a lick of talent in your body. You cannot hold a note, go down. At the last big event the Doobie Brothers did, they gave me a tambourine. I said, please don't sing, Bill. Please don't sing. But the point
about how well you sing or how well you play. It's about how well you entertain people. If people enjoy seeing you get up on stage,
people want to hear me sing because Bill can't sing, but my God.
He entertains best when he bites the tambourine. you really don't want to hear him sing. It's embarrassing.
I have decided that a lot of people cannot appreciate the unique sounds that I'm making. Maybe long after I'm dead, we'll have scientific equipment to come out and say,
jealous.
like
believe
German
the
chef.
Notes are. All right, you know what? I just
Bill
can't get
have.
No credibility here.
Bill has talent for letting other people get things done. Bill can help a group of people who have a tough time talking to each other sit down in a room and not only talk, but create and build and make it happen. And Bill's
Merlin,
moderator
I need you to put a,
and mediator.
A little bit hold on that one. I know you know what, and I know what you're talking about. I don't like that to get out to everybody. I do let conversations
right.
with, but I don't, you know. You follow me on that, please?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't have any secret
idiot,
code
have
or message.
No
there's something, thank you, sir. There's some things I do which require people in difficulties and problems, and I don't like to brag about stuff like that. So let's stop talking about me for a second. Let's get back to Frank. What are we going to hear for Frank? I want to hear something
we're gonna
for
hear,
Frank.
We're going
to
hear yeah, Driving right. These Lines by Frank Belangi.
Is it a good song?
Yes, it is.
Why are you telling me? I don't know it yet. Let me hear it for myself,
go.
All right? Don't push me.
There we
me.
Go. We're going right now.
Hey, you heard one of my songs last week. I don't know if you forgot, but.
I did one last week. Yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah.
We did, Frank. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
not this
just,
song.
It's
all
right.
Song, right?
Yeah, it was It's All Right there. Yep.
It's queuing up right now.
Okay.
But, no, this is a good song.
All right. Why are you pushing on me? I'll make that decision myself.
No,
why are you going to keep pushing me?
I'm not.
This is dialogue means both of us having conversation back and forth.
That's true.
You make your choices, I make mine. Why are you going to push it on me?
I'm not. I mean, I
you
just
won't.
Gotta,
you
I
won't.
Just gotta, I just got a...
Nice. Pretty nice.
Yeah.
He's stormy
I just
there.
Got an email
from who?
From Megadeth. They
Megadeth.
Filmed their new video.
They want me to sing one?
No. They filmed their new video.
Hello, me. Meet the real me. It's nice talking to myself again. Thank you.
comment on that if you don't mind, sir.
Go for it.
I had a statement I wanted to make, but then you were whispering in my ear or blowing in my ear. I don't know what you're doing. You tell me that he plays one of the tracks himself.
He puts it all together.
He plays
all his own music.
How is it that you can ascertain where one instrument should stop and another instrument should start? And how could you figure out what instrument should overlap? How does your mind work?
I don't really know. it just comes natural.
That's a trick question, by the way.
It starts with a guitar, and then you kind of like, you know, you add bass, you kind of figure out what kind of beat you want, and you add the drums, and then you have to start to write lyrics, and then write lyrics, you know, at least, you know, four times over as far as rewrites, and figuring out how to sing it too is. That's his whole process, you know, and it doesn't stop. It's always ongoing. And is a song ever done? I don't know, but I guess it has to come pretty close.
And you said that you use the guitar as your bass or your foundation, not being a musician, and we've all made fun of that. I would say that the drum would be it. Why do you think that the guitar? Because you favor the guitar over other instruments, or how do you start your program?
No, because the guitar has all the melody in it. It has the chords. It has, like, the structure of what the song is going to be. And, I mean, you can put any type of drum fill behind a song. It might not fit. You got to find the right one. But that really gets, you know, when you listen to a song, you listen to, like, even like a John Mayer or something, you know, he's playing, I don't know if he plays acoustic a lot, but he'll be playing electric guitar, some chords and stuff. And, you know, you really get that melody sense, and then, you know, hits in with the lyrics. And but recording wise, you actually do start with drums, but a lot of times it's almost like live. Like, you'll have the drummer, guitarist, bass player, you know, second guitarist, whatever, all in one room, and you play the track on how it's gonna be, and you cut everything else out except for the drums, and you redo it all again, and then double it, so you gotta redo it all again.
So it's like live, but over and over and over and over and over.
A little bit. I mean, like, if you listen to, like, a Godsmack, they're really, the initial part of that song is really them playing live, and then they take out, you know, like, the guitar part, and then they go back one by one and doing it. But to really get that, like, rock, especially rock music, that sense of energy and stuff, you guys really all need to be in a room, even though, you know, you might cut out your guitar part, you know, for that part.
Yeah.
But that's all on the drummer for the first take of the song. It's all on the drummer, you know. And then, but, of course, you got to practice it and stuff. But with me, like, I went down and recorded my EP in Nashville, and the Christian rock
band. Where'd
you
record
that? Soundstage Studios. It's,
I think
it's
I know where
music.
That is. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's right on Music Row. You've been on Music Row there.
Oh, well, cool. I recorded mine at Sound Emporium, so not that far from there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I the band Day of Fire, their Christian rock band, we recorded with them. And, you know, those guys, they've never even, you know, heard my music. Like, they heard demo versions and stuff like that. And they come in, and for them to take, you know, what I originally wrote and what I originally performed myself and bring it up to that next level, and just do it within a matter of two. I mean, literally on the fourth take, we were done with each song. It took, like, you know, 3 hours to get the basic foundation, everything. It's truly amazing.
Isn't that just crazy how they do that?
It's amazing.
It is. I remember I went up and, like, 15 songs on this one CD. I went up and I worked with a producer, and we got all the keys set right and everything like that. And he sat down with just an acoustic guitar and tabbed them out, and the next day we were in the studio recording, laying down the tracks, and it just amazed me. Those musicians, the studio musicians that were playing on the CD, they heard it maybe like all of two times and just went in there and sold it. It was amazing to watch, and I'm so lucky that I got to work with them, because, honestly, that's probably some of the most fun I've had in my whole career was getting to
hear it come to life, you know.
Professionals, it's like, ha, it's so cool.
I know, to hear it come to life, and it's basically the same scenario, but I don't know if you play. Do you play drums and everything else, too, or no? I didn't know.
I can play guitar and kazoo. That's about it.
Oh, okay.
I tried to teach myself piano, but, I mean, I'm just not ever going to be able to be good at that. That's not my forte. I'm going to stick to singing and guitar. But that's awesome that you play all of that yourself, too.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to record it all, I could. But it's like you said, when you have the professionals there and, you know, you take your version and bump it up and then, you know, fill in your part the best you can do it. It's a whole other experience. It's like going to the moon or I don't know, you know. It's like going off the planet or I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a whole different experience from being live.
Yeah.
It's a whole different feeling.
Let me ask this question. Either one or answer, please. So what I'm thinking here and being totally non-professional is this is like a jigsaw puzzle, and you're trying to put the pieces together that fit right. But in the relationship between the words and the music, do you need one and then blend into the other, or are they two separate entities? How do you get them to come together? Do you go with a beat, a riff? Do you go with a line of music? Can anybody jump in and help me on that?
You can go on and take it if you want.
I don't know. I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff where I've tried, and it's just like, man, you know, that vocal thing just didn't work out. I mean, just how you say a word or how it hits the certain beat or the certain part of the, they call them measures,
mm-hmm.
you know, that all matters. And truthfully, it can make or break a song, too, depending on what you're doing. And I don't know. A lot of it is just like magic or, I don't know, something. It's just something's come together.
Did you produce your own stuff or did you have a producer there?
For my new EP? Yeah, I worked with their producer and I co-produced it along with them.
Okay. Like how picky was he about pronunciation on words?
He actually...
Because I want to know if I have just gotten the pickiest guy in the world.
I tell you a little story. He gave that job to Josh, the singer of Day of Fire, because he's been in tons of bands. He's been in, like, Full Devil Jacket, and they're on MTV, all that kind of stuff. And so I was doing Skype sessions and stuff, right, over the internet. We were going over two songs and stuff, and he'd be like, what does that line mean? You know, what does it really mean? I don't know what it means. What does it mean to you? You know, does it actually mean what the song means? And he goes, you know, how do you say back? Do you say it like back? How do you say it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to really pronunciate? And yeah, to answer your questions, he did pick on some of the stuff. So,
yeah,
you know.
Dave Brainerd, whenever I recorded with him, there's one thing that sticks out in my mind more than anything, and there has been plenty of places that he has picked on me about just certain words and go over them about 50 times until I get it exactly like he thinks it needs to sound. But the one word that sticks out in my mind, do y'all like Stevie Nicks and Tom Petty?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I cover Tom Petty a couple. Free Fallin'.
Cool. Well, we need to get together and do Stevie Nicks and Tom Petty Stop Dragging My Heart Around, because I sing that one all the time.
Oh, really?
But, yes. Whenever I was 12, I think I was 12, I went into the studio and I was going to cover, just do a simple demo, you know, just to get in some studio experience. I was going to record that song and he was going to do like some weird funky acoustic track to it, and it ended up, apart from my 12-year-old voice, sounding just amazing. But, you know, Stop Dragging My Heart Around, whenever I would go to say dragging, I've got a little bit of an accent, he would say, can you make it sound a little bit more like giraffe? And I'm like, what? It's like telling me to completely mispronounce the word to make it sound exactly one way. And he was going to, like, cut part of the word and place it with another part. I mean,
yep.
I think I may just have the most picky producer in the world.
No, it's happened to me, too.
He does amazing work.
It's I mean, it's a producer's thing too, and whoever the lyricist is, you know, especially the guy like going over things. And what happened is it was a song I was supposed to record. The line was, "When everything's turned upside down." Josh goes, "Why don't you say everything's?" So it's like, "When everything's turned upside down." And I'm like, okay.
Has he ever had you like add in an A somewhere to space the syllables outright?
I noticed with him, it's taking out the things that I didn't need, because I tend to put in places extra things. So
yeah, like and
yeah,
the,
try to cut down an I too a lot if it's not directly about you.
Yeah,
different things. Start on solid words rather than, you know, but or like you said, and a few other ones.
But, I mean, I guess it all just starts with getting out and practicing the song and getting comfortable with it before you go into the studio and get all technical with it, as long as you're comfortable with it.
I tell everyone, like, there's a local kid I record here, and I tell him, I go, you know, before you record this, you know, at my house or whatever, just, you know, go through it for a while. Even if it takes you 3 months, it takes you 3 months, because you're going to be that much better.
Yeah. It's crazy. The first song I ever recorded, ever, I re-recorded and put on the CD, Heart on Ice. It was, I recorded it for the first time when I think I was 9. Wasn't very appropriate for my age back then, but it was still a good song. But, yeah, it's just a lot of practicing. I've been saving up a lot of different material and getting it down as good as I can before I even go think about recording it.
Well, if you, I mean, I can always, if you want me to listen to anything, I'm sure Philip can give you my email, or I believe I sent you a Facebook request, but I mean, I can always record some acoustic guitar or whatever you want here, and if you want backup vocals or something, it'd be cool to collaborate one of these days, or if you come down.
I'd love to.
All like Albany, New York, that's where I'm from, so if you ever come up this way, you know.
Or if you ever come down this way.
Yeah, I mean, I did twice already. I don't know when's the next time I'm going to go down to Nashville, but I've had an offer to go down to Memphis and play, but I don't think it's going to be this year. Maybe next year.
Memphis does have a pretty good scene if you go down in the right places.
Yeah, because I'm more in that rock, sort of modern rock genre, not really like metal or anything, but.
You know, in Nashville, there is this bar called 12th and Porter. Just by judging, like, just hearing your music, just right exactly then, it sounded, that would probably fit into 12th and Porter pretty good. You should check that place out. It's in Nashville.
If you want to know about 12th and Porter, Charlie, because Charlie plays there every once in a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
oh,
I think he does.
Mm-hmm. I've been at Tootsie's. I played there. I played at the Pix because I was staying at the Best Western there, and I got to do a few things down there, but not too much because I was busy recording.
Yeah.
Let me ask this. Both of you answer this question if you would, either one. Is it easier to be the singer and songwriter, or is it easier to collaborate with different people? Because I was thinking if I had my own music, my own words, I'd
forget
want them.
Forget it, brother.
We're talking hypothetically. You see that? That's why I get deep emotional scars. If you're a singer, if you're a songwriter, you don't want. Do you think people open enough to share and listen to what other people say? Or if you're a singer, songwriter, you know the message, you know the way he wants to get out. So would it be easier to work with a band and a group, or is it easier to be a singular focus? Either one, please.
Well, I guess, are you talking about on a song that you have written and teaching it to a whole band and getting that sound, or just you doing it yourself? Are you talking about if
you
write
it? And you're going to sing and you're going to introduce it to your band, and you're going to be trying to put something together the first time, put a record, so they're going to have their input into it. Would it be easier if it was just like your band, you're the singer, you're everything, and they're going to go along with it? Or does it help to have collaboration with other people, or is that more time-intensive? I listen to all this other input. When it's your song, you know the message and the way you want it to get out.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I don't write that much, so never had a really big problem with that. Teaching it to other people, original songs, not exactly songs that I have written, but songs that I do that I'm friends with the writers, and I know what kind of feel they want for the song. I don't know if it's really harder to do it yourself or get the help, because, I mean, it's always great to have somebody backing you up. I mean, that fills the song out more. But if you're the only one that you feel like is really only getting the concept of the song, then, yeah, it's usually better. I mean, it's depending on the song, really, what kind of song and what kind of feel you're wanting for it and what kind of band members you have.
Yeah. My ignorance, I would just say, and I want Frank to answer that, but if it was my song and my words, I don't think I'd want to share. I don't think I want somebody to change it. I don't know if that'd be because I'm, you know, domineering, or I would just feel that this is how I want the song to go. And I don't know if other people coming in with other advice might be.
It's not domineering if it's your song.
Okay. How do you feel about that, Frank?
I kind of went through that a little bit with the song I was going to record, got totally changed around from what I originally had, and people saying, well, the lyrics and stuff need to be changed because this, I don't think, it's all I don't think, you know, but my producer says, you know, everybody has a different opinion, so really, I mean, you can come to a compromise, but anyone can listen to that and have a different opinion. There's no guarantee that if you do it your way or you do it his way, that a record company or whoever will listen to it and get it right away. But you want to do it, you want to feel like it's your song still and your message comes through to what it exactly, you know, you're trying to do, you know, on that level.
So, Frank, what you're saying, and I apologize again for interrupting you, I do it a lot, but is the, you're making the music, you got to make money, so you got to make something that's going to be popular, or does it come down to you making music because you want to make your music? Is that the issue?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, especially if you're going to stay on the indie, you know, like the indie side, and you're not gonna really going to be like, well, I don't want to be, you know, one of these signed bands touring around and stuff. Then you can do more what you want and be a little bit more your own boss. And but you have to keep in mind when you're going into the mainstream side of things, like when I did this whole project, I'm like, you know, I really have to keep that in mind and to listen to what other bands did. And, I mean, basically when you get the song, too, you don't want to compare yourself to somebody else, but you want to compare it to, is it something close that would be played on the radio or something close that a modern band would come out with? I mean, there's tons and tons of different factors, but you have to keep that in mind if you're going that route. You have to, I think you're always going to work with somebody else and, you know, on that level. So.
Stormy, could you release control of one of your songs to producer or director, producers, I guess you call them? Could you release control and let them change your music, your sound, your words, your baby?
Well, it depends on what direction they really wanted to go with it. Of course, I would want to have say over the song because, like you said, that's my baby. I want to be able to have control over the song that I have created. But, I mean, I think it's good to have your mind open to other possibilities. But as long as it stays true to the song and stays how I pretty much based around it, you know. If it stays true to the song, I wouldn't care.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't
want interesting. I have an interesting observation here. I was talking to Stormy, and I didn't see her picture. And looking at a picture, through her singing and all that, she sounds, again, I'll use the word more sophisticated. The voice is more, it's more, I don't know what the word I want here is. Anyway, I'm quite surprised when I'm hearing her singing and seeing her picture, and Philip has shown me pictures up here. Frank's not exactly some old guy either, is he?
No.
Frank, how old are you? Do you mind my asking?
23.
I had not seen your picture at all, and I really thought, if from the way you portrayed yourself and the way you handled yourself, I was speaking to somebody much older. So here I'm being surprised by Stormy and now by Frank. Wow. these people have done all this in their life. What have you done, Philip? You built a ship. Yeah, I heard that story.
You're on seven seas.
You built a ship. All right. Thank you very much. Yeah. 50 years from now, their music will be on. What will you be saying? Your ship will be the bottom.
Probably.
Well, what the hell? I do want to thank both of you because we are running out of time, but thank you for your patience with allowing me to ask you questions which maybe a professional would have known the answers, and I should have asked more appropriate questions. So please accept my ignorance on that. But the questions I had, I think the people listening do want to know. So I thank you very much for that, and I'm hoping we can do some more with you guys soon. And you guys get a chance to hook up and Charlie hook up, and we'll wait for you guys to come out to the coast. Philip and I pretty much don't go anywhere unless we ride our motorcycles, so I'm not sure I can get back that far there. Stormy, you got your bike?
Thanks for having me.
Stormy, you got your own motorcycle yet?
I can't even drive my truck.
It's a real nice truck.
I can't even drive my truck. I think I need to learn how to drive with four wheels before I start worrying about two.
Well, can you drive a bicycle?
Barely.
No. Oh, then you're right. Stay in the truck, darling. Stay in the truck with that.
Yeah, keep the cage.
Please tell your grandma we said happy birthday, okay, dear?
I will, and thank you so much for having me.
No worries. And
well, you and Frank,
welcome back anytime.
Yeah, please, anytime like that. Let's know what's going
on. Nice meeting you, too. Good luck with your music there, and keep in touch.
Are you talking about my music?
Everybody's music.
I'm sorry, you said good luck to my music, were you saying?
Yeah, everybody's music, no.
Frank, there ain't no music here.
It was towards Stormy.
Stormy, Frank said that he sent you a friend request. You might want to check him out.
Okay, I will. My Facebook has been acting really weird, so I have to go in and need to clean out and try and figure out what's wrong with it. A lot of the friend requests it won't let me accept anymore for some reason, but I'll figure
besides
it out.
Besides your grandma, we also want
to
say...
Hello to your mama.
Hope your mama's doing fine and all that. She was quite a cheerleader getting the last week here telling us that. It's a joy talking to her.
That's what I heard. That's what I heard. I hope she didn't harass y'all too much.
No. She's welcome back anytime.
You know, class is class. That's all. Yeah.
Everybody here is, what we like to do is network. And all we ask is that you just tell people about us as we tell people about you.
We don't get nice things said about us.
We
get crazy things.
Yeah, that's true.
Why do you guys argue so much? It's the way we are.
Right.
They don't like my choice of vocabulary. They don't like my politics. That's okay, everybody. If you're calling in, you're dialing, we have conversations with other people, we're happy for that.
That's it.
And I do enjoy when people walk up to us and say, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah.
We heard you. And
yeah, that's kind of nice.
You guys always argue. So, once again, I'd like to say thank you, guys.
It's dinner time. I'm hungry.
And we'll see you on the next one.
Good night, everybody. Good night to our new friends
and to our old friends
and those who gave the show all around the world. Go listen to it later on. Good night, everybody.
And
Evil Lee from London. I haven't heard enough from London. What the hell?
He's having phone troubles.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm going to do, Bill, is I'll take us out with your favorite song by Attica. And if you guys want to hang around and listen to this one, it's called War.
I was on stage emceeing this with a headband and earplugs in my ears when I was on stage with this group emceeing.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
No, thanks, Frank. Thank you, Stormy. But if you guys want to hang around
for a minute, thank you guys so much for having me on.
No worries. You're welcome back anytime.
Your mama forced us. Your mother said if we didn't have you on, she would come out here and smack us once. So we won't take care of you.
I believe that. I believe
that. War by Atticus 7.
One of my favorite. still there real quick, Stormy?
Yes, I am. I'm here.
Yes, I just want to say quickly one thing. Make a suggesting a wonderful thought might be for you to sing about a young girl who's singing about her father who didn't come home from the war. I like the way you wear that one song. You carry that very well. I think that'd be a wonderful thought to for all the other girls whose fathers didn't come home from war. So good night to everyone.
Hey, I think we got it. Are you guys still there?
No.